Lord, we ask that you would speak to us now through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. Thank you that your word, it teaches us how to live, how to give, how to love, how to forgive, what to say, what not to say, where to go, where not to go. We open our hearts and minds to receive what you would speak to us this morning, Lord. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, God. Things change, but you never do. You are the God and you change not. We love you for that, Lord. We bless you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Forever and always the same. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4 and verse 5. Let's thank God for our dance ministry. Marquise, come here just for a minute. Look at Marquise, looking sharp. Yeah. Bless you, brother. That's right. It's good to see Kathy. I already told you how nice you look today. Amen. Thank you, Kathy, for stepping your game up on Easter Sunday. Yes, Kathy. You know we family, Kathy.
Yes, right.
Thank God for Shalitha. She heads up the dance ministry. That was powerful. That was good. I wanted to keep worshiping this morning, but I know we got to get into the word. Boy, I tell you, thank God this morning. Thank God for you all, for friends and family. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ didn't rise, then we're doing all this for nothing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This is the Super Bowl of Christendom. We know he was born and we know he died, but if he didn't resurrect, then it was all for nothing. So this is the most important day of those of us that are born again. Our foundation, the foundation of our faith is everything hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning. I'll try and paint a picture just to show you the facts of the resurrection. We talked about the trip going to Israel and Egypt, a trip I had the privilege of going on in 2008. We followed the footsteps of Jesus. We followed the footsteps of Moses. We went to the empty tomb. And guess what? Amen. It's still empty. Amen. And so I would encourage you, if there's something that you're thinking about as God leads you, when you see it for yourself, you're already convinced and you believe now. But when you see it for yourself, it's incredible. One thing that the resurrection does do, it answers three of the most important questions in life. Three of the most important questions in life. And I know it's not what my next job will be and what age will I retire and will I have any grandkids. Those are not the three questions I'm talking about. Amen. Three questions, if you're taking notes, which I know some of you are doing, three questions that the game changer for anybody in life, the resurrection answers those questions. Number one, where do I come from? Number two, why am I here? Number three, what happens to me when I die? Answers all those questions. When Jesus Christ resurrected and split time in half, he told us he's the way, he's the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He told us to go and make disciples. He says, when we die, we go to him, go to be with him in paradise. Family and friends, we really don't have to worry about our purpose in life. We know we have a God-given purpose. It's the most important thing that anyone could ever do is to tell others about Jesus Christ and that they can be reconciled to God. So your method is different from my method, but your purpose, you don't ever have to go through life asking, God, what is my purpose? He said, go ye therefore. We appreciate you being here in church today, but he didn't say bring them to church. He said, go ye therefore. He told us to go out and get them. Yes, church is very necessary. We'll talk about that as well. But he sent us out to tell others that Christ died for our sins, gave us a way back to God. God sent Jesus Christ on a rescue mission because we needed help. Somebody say amen if you know you needed help. If we had it all together, then we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. But since we don't, God sent him on a rescue mission to save us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We thank God for saving us this morning. If you would, take a look at Acts 4 and 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers, elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, or the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the middle, they talked about the disciples, Peter and John. Say, by what power or by what name have you done this? So Peter and John had just healed a lame man. The man had been lame. He was sitting outside the church. They just healed him. He had been there. Well, he had been lame since birth. He's over 40 years old. He's at the temple, which John and Peter were going to preach the gospel in the temple. They were turning the world upside down. They were telling the Jews, we don't go to the temple anymore. It's all about the church. It's not about circumcision anymore. It's about the resurrection. It's about communion. It's about Jesus Christ dying for our sins. The Messiah has come. They were going to the temple, the Jewish temple, which they had been practicing Jewish customs for almost 4,000 years. So just look at how radical that was. Something they've been doing for 4,000 years. They come and say, we don't do that anymore. So on the way there, they meet this man who was lame. He's been crippled since birth, and he's at the temple begging. So over 40 years old. That's a long time. I know in this day of instant everything, fingertip answers, we like to get our answers right away, but sometimes it takes a while for God to answer.
All right.
Sometimes it takes a while for God to answer. It just doesn't happen overnight. It's not the genie in the bottle where you rub it and he jumps out and says, poof, what do you need? This man had been there for 40 years. And just think about it. What if he didn't go to church that day? What if he didn't go to the temple that day? Then he misses his blessing. God works outside of the church. How many of you got saved outside of a church? Amen. I'm included in that. I was at a summer camp swimming and hiking and fooling around. Okay, and getting high and all other kind of stuff, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Got hit with the gospel, got hit with the Bible.
Amen.
Couldn't deny it. I was 17.
Praise God.
So I know God works outside of the church, but I know there's certain things that God only does in the church. It's important for us to come together. It's important for us to fellowship. If he didn't go to church that day, he would have missed what God had for him. Waiting 40 years to get healed, waiting 40 years for God to show up, didn't go to church, would have missed his blessing.
Amen.
Didn't fellowship with the people of God, would have missed his blessing. And that says a lot about him too, because even after 40 years in that same condition, he's still going to the house of God. He didn't give up on God, so I guess I'm telling someone, don't give up on God. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your life. God still has that plan for you.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
It might not happen overnight, but you just don't know what day is going to happen.
Yes.
Don't give up on God.
Amen.
So here's this man. They heal him. He wakes up. He gets up and he walks into the church and he's leaping and he's praising God. And they say, wait a minute, what has happened here? So we're kind of focusing in on Peter. So now they just called them into the room and said, what are you guys doing? And how did this happen? We pick it up in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined, if we're being judged of the good deed done to the lame, impotent man, by what means he is made whole, if we're being judged, if you're calling me and asking me what happened to this man, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you. Underline raised from the dead. Peter and them are preaching the gospel. That's the gospel right there.
Amen.
That's the good news right there. He was crucified. God raised him from the dead. And through him, this man is healed. Through him, you and I are healed. Through him, you and I are saved, rescued, delivered, and set free.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. Verse 11, this is a stone which you rejected. Somebody here, don't reject Christ. Peter told him, this is the stone that you rejected, which has become the foundation of the corner, which is the foundation of life. Peter said, you guys rejected it, but it's the foundation of life. So let me ask him, if Jesus Christ isn't your foundation, family, what is your foundation? Think about that just for a minute. See, this is not, it's not a religious thing. It's not something we do. I want a relationship with God because there's so much going on. I need to know, God, what do you have for my life? I don't want to take my chances. So think about that. If Christ isn't your foundation, then what is? With this being Easter, so to speak, what basket have you placed all your eggs in? If Jesus Christ isn't your foundation, then what basket have you placed all your eggs in? And by the way, a bunny is a mammal. It doesn't even lay eggs, okay? So let's get that straight right now. It's not a reptile. Reptiles lay eggs. Bunnies are mammals. The world tries to confuse us every trip of the train. Got you playing with an Easter bunny with eggs, and that's a lie. Every first year science student knows that. But think, what basket have I placed all my eggs? Peter said, you guys have rejected the foundation of eternal life. If you reject Christ, then what do you put your faith in? Man, my job, my career, myself, my skills, my ability, my talent. Family, we're one doctor's visit away. We're one accident away from it all being over.
Amen.
And if the resurrection happened as they say it happened, then we have some decisions to make. If it didn't happen, then you take your chances with your own plan of salvation. I don't know what that might be, but I guess you got a pretty good idea since it's yours. Please share with me after service. What's your plan of salvation? There's no other way to be rescued. So here we go. Look at verse 12. It says, there is no other way to be rescued. There's no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Make a note. This is Peter talking. I'm going to highlight that because we're going to talk about Peter some more. During our Bible study, we're studying the Old Testament. We started at Genesis and now we're up into Numbers. We're at the New Testament. We're studying the book of Acts. So we've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and now we're in Numbers, almost finished with that. When God has given them a directive, he told them how to build the temple. He told them what color the curtains should be. He told them you got to use silver on this one, but use gold on that one, use brass on that one. He said it should be this high, it should be this tall, it should be this short, it should be this long. And he said, do it exactly the way I told you to do it. And if not, there's going to be some problems. That's what God said. And you had Aaron, his sons. They tried to do it their own way, went into the temple and offered a strange offering, and they didn't make it out. So as we're studying the Old Testament, one thing that is ministering to our hearts, we serve a God of detail. We serve a God of specifics, and we serve a God of order. He says, do it this way, do it that way, do it this way. Verse 12, Peter is saying, there is no other, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's specific, that's detail, and that's order. And you can say, well, man, it's other ways. All paths lead to. Okay, I'm telling you, we serve a God of detail, specifics, and order. It's clear we will be without excuse when we stand before God. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, underline boldness, you can be bold without being rude and disrespectful and offensive. You can be. Amen. I want you to be bold. We want to be bold and share the gospel. We don't have to be rude and offensive and disrespectful. You can be bold without those things. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned or uneducated and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Underline that. That's why it's hard to read your Bible. The enemy never wants you to read your Bible. Because when you spend time with Jesus, it'll change your life. All they could say, man, they spent time with Jesus. We spend time with Jesus through his word. You start getting in this word and you start thinking differently, start living differently, start acting differently, start talking different. And the enemy doesn't want you to do that. So you're tired and there's other things going on. I can't get up early unless I go to work. I can get up early for work, but I can't get up early to read my word. I can't fast. I can't pray. I can't come to church. I'm busy. And so you don't spend time with Jesus and your life never changes. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to continue to get what you've always gotten. Amen. And just understand the spiritual warfare. Make a note. Understand the spiritual warfare that goes on that never wants you to come to church, that never wants you to open your Bible, that never wants you to pray, that never wants you to share the gospel with anyone. Understand the spiritual warfare that's going on. Look at the world today. It is so many distractions, so much going on. And for our youth, I'm praying for our youth daily, because parents, you all know that it is a job to try and keep their minds focused. Yeah. We didn't have all these distractions, Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else they're into these days, direct messages and all this. It is something else. Just within the 10 years that we've raised our oldest daughter to our youngest daughter, it's changed so much. So much that she has access to. I mean, you all know. I mean, remember when a telephone was on the wall? Somebody say amen. Right. And you had to dial and wait for the numbers to come back. And right. Now it's a flashlight. It's a video recorder. It's an audio recorder. Your music's there. You're just so distracted. You never have to think for yourself these days. Amen. Parents, be aware that your kids don't have to think. It's always something telling them how to think. And it's always changing. So when you say sit down and read, they're like, oh, is the book going to change? No, you got to read it. It's not going to hop up. It's not going to do. You got to read it. Parents, have your kids so their brain is wiring their brains differently. Make sure you have your kids reading at least 30 minutes a night and not on the phone or actual book. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the Bible, but let them get their mind so they can read a book. Right. So when they read the Bible, they can have the mindset to do it. Amen. So many distractions. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You can't argue with a changed life. Here's this man been there for over 40 years. Well, he's been lame for over 40 years. Now he's standing up. You tell him, because Jesus Christ resurrected, he's through the Holy Spirit, he's empowered us to heal people. And that's why this man is here. They couldn't say anything about it. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them? and it's manifested to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. They couldn't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. You can say God, you can say the man upstairs, but when you start talking about Jesus Christ resurrected, nobody wants to hear that. God bless you. Even in today's society, you can't talk about him in school. You can't talk about him in a job. You can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't want it mentioned then. They don't want it mentioned now. They hate Christ now. They hate him now. He said, if they hate you, they're going to hate. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. It's not a popularity contest. It's one of the toughest things. And as a pastor called to preach the gospel, it's tough. I'm telling you, family, I've been in ministry for over 30 years. It is tough. Nobody wants to talk to y'all. Do thank God for y'all, boy. Cause, whoo, man, nobody wants to hear this stuff these days. Yeah, I know that what they say, the lie has already made it around the track before the truth can lace up its shoes. The lie done made it around the track 3 or 4 times. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Still lacing up my shoes and the lie done took off. That's what we're dealing with in society. Truth is too slow. So here we go. Verse 18, they called him in and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Wow. What kind of mindset do they have? And these are elders. These are elders in the church. A man has just been healed by the power of Jesus. Supposedly you care about people. This man has been healed. You say, don't speak about that anymore. Absolutely no sense. Do we care about people or do we care about just being seen? What kind of mindset that they have that they're supposed to be religious leaders? And see, that's why I'm saying, don't make this a religious thing. Make this a relationship thing. Amen. Religion is all trying to find God. The relationship God says, I've already been found. I wasn't hiding. I found you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't make this a religious thing. Religious folks are, I want to talk to folks and show folks how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than God, you judge. So family, you have to make a decision this morning. Who's going to have the largest influence in your life, God or man? Who are you going to trust more today, God or man? Who are you going to commit your life to, God or man? That's what it's. Who should we commit our life to, you or God? You judge that. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified, celebrated God for that which was done. Somebody say amen. At least it was some men there that had some sense. Men say amen. Thank God there's some men in here that have some sense and know, hey, I got to do something with this sin in my life. Because I know it's a lot of it. I do not want to face God with all this sin in my heart. I'm going to celebrate God because he already did what I couldn't do for myself. And men, those that are visiting, we talk about it all the time. You come up to a brother, don't argue about all the, everybody want to argue who wrote the Bible, who all. Just cut to the chase. So, brother, so, but what about all that sin in your heart? What you going to do with that? And if he tells you, well, I don't have any, then you get away from him. That's a dangerous man. Run fast. That's a dangerous man. Man to man being real. See, I can't speak to the ladies. You all, I mean, that's a different dynamic. You all are wired differently. But I know man to man. So I speak to a man, Brother Will. So, bro, what do we do all this sin in our heart? Well, Pastor, I haven't sinned in about 20 years. All right, well, I'm gone, man. Matter of fact, erase my number out of your phone, brother. Don't call me on nothing, man. Unless you're saying I've had an epiphany. I've had a revelation. Yeah, what do we do with the sin in our heart? So who are you committing your life to? Who? Who's the biggest influence in your life, God or man? Make a decision. You can't serve both. Who are you going to trust? They said, whether we should trust you or... Think about it. They're telling these guys whether we should trust you guys or we should trust God. You make that decision. Verse 24, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and which we've heard. So when they further threatened them to let them go, finding nothing how they could punish them because of all the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Wow. Just don't happen overnight. This man had been waiting a long time. Been waiting for God to show up. Over 40 years. Was born like that. Make a note, those of you taking notes. Do not give up on God. Do not give up on your dream. Do not give up on your life. If you've been expecting it to happen overnight, now you see that it doesn't. Make a note, it's not going to happen overnight. Now let me just share one more thing with you. Let's look at, and Natalie, I forgot to tell you, you're going to be all over the place, all right? Let's go to Mark 14. Let me kind of do my first closing with this. Mark 14, 66. Let's just take a quick glimpse at Peter. What I want to show you is that something happened in Peter's life. He wasn't always bold. He wasn't always preaching the gospel. Just make a note that Peter, he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ, and they killed him, they crucified him upside down. We'll talk a little bit about that on my second closing. Something happened in Peter's life. Did I say Mark 14 and 66? Okay, they just arrest Jesus Christ. All his disciples scatter. This same Peter, two different scenarios. Something happens that changed him in the middle of this scenario and the scenario we just read. And Peter, verse 66, and Peter was beneath or in the courtyard of the palace. And there come one of the little teenage girls of the high priest, a teenage girl. He was just standing before men declaring the boldness, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to serve God. We're not going to serve you. But right here, a teenage girl comes. Verse 67, when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, you was with Jesus, wasn't you? Peter said, no, I wasn't. So how do you stand up to a bold committee of men, but you're afraid of a teenage girl? Verse 68, but Peter denied, saying, man, I don't even understand what you're talking about. It's cat Peter. I don't understand what you're talking about. And I don't even know what you're saying. We all been there before. It's called playing dumb. The rooster crowed. 69, and a maid saw him, another little teenage girl saw him. He began to say that to them that stood by, hey, he's one of them. And if you've ever been in that position, you know how afraid you can be. If you grew up in a neighborhood like I did, and guys start saying, hey, he's free, he lives over there. Not me. You got me mixed up, man. I'm not looking for no trouble. Verse 70, and he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, man, surely you're surely one of them, for your speech, the way that you talk, we can tell that you're a Christian. Well, that's a good question. The way that you talk, the way that you act, can they tell you're a Christian? It's a whole nother question. We call it speaking Christianese. So we got our own language. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Blessed. Highly favored. Yes. That's a whole nother. I can tell by the way you talk. It's over. I can tell by the way you talk. But here we go. And he denied it again. A little after they stood by again. Surely you are. We can tell by the way you talk. But he began to curse and to swear. Wow, Peter. Kind of lost it. Cussed a little teenage girl out. Start swearing. I put that on my mama. He started putting on his mama. I put that on God. I put that on my dead homies. It wasn't me. That's what Peter started doing. He started going off. Then the rooster crowed and family. If the resurrection didn't happen, it would have been so easy for Peter to stay right where he was. Acts 1, Natalie. It would have been so easy just to say, I don't even know him. I don't want to know him. I don't know what you're talking about. But family, when the resurrection happened, when Jesus Christ resurrected on that third day, make a note, he appeared to them for 40 days after he resurrected. He appeared, some scholars say 11 or 12. We know it's at least 11 times that he appeared over 40 days, possibly 12. He was seen by over 500 people at once. The resurrection is mentioned 175 times in the New Testament. Peter and them turned the world upside down to the point that we're standing and sitting in a church today. Some 2,017 years later, the church is still here. Because they witnessed the resurrection and wouldn't shut up. Did I say Acts 1? Luke wrote the book of Luke. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. Most scholars believe that. Luke was an eyewitness as well. So he says, the most important treatise or the most important word I've made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Luke said, man, the most important words of Jesus Christ, I've written them down. Verse 2, until that day in which he was taken up, and after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his suffering by many unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Between Peter cussing the little girl out and Peter speaking to the men, the resurrection happened. It turned the world upside down. It turned Peter's life upside down. It's turned many of our lives upside down. You have some say that the resurrection was just a hoax or a joke. Put it, line it up with the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and the abominable snowman. But the lives of the disciples speak differently. Peter was crucified upside down. John was the only one that died a natural death. So let me share this and I'm going to close out. I was sharing with a guy at the gym and we were talking about the resurrection. So here's the deal with the resurrection. Because people die all the time for what they believe in. All right? You all get that. Those of us who grew up in the gangs, we had homies, well, I'll die for the hood. Because they believed the hood was that important. We know we have over in the Middle East, we have people dying for what they believe in, what they actually believe is the truth. But the disciples, if Jesus Christ didn't resurrect, they didn't die for the truth. They died for a lie. And they knew it. See, that's the difference. God was saying, well, yeah, man, people die for what they believe in all the time. I get that. But not the apostles. If the resurrection didn't happen, if it was a hoax, if it was a joke, then they knew it was a lie. And they still died for a lie. So true people die for what they believe in, misguided or whatever. But I don't know if you could get 12 people to die for a lie. And knowing it's a lie, not that they're confused. If the resurrection didn't happen, they knew it didn't happen. They knew that it was the swoon theory or it was an imposter or whatever. Or he was in a shallow grave that was eaten by dogs and all that. They knew all that happened. And still died. James got his head cut off. Peter was crucified upside down. Matthew was killed by the sword in Ethiopia. They cut him to pieces. James, the brother of Jesus, they threw him off a roof and then they beat him to death. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, preached in Asia, Turkey, and Armenia, where he was beaten to death with a whip. Andrew was crucified in Rome on an X-shaped cross. He was beaten and then tied to the cross. He preached to his tormentors for 2 days before he died. Thomas was stabbed with the spear as he was preaching in India. And you could even check the historical records. Thomas traveled to India by sea in AD 52. He was later killed and buried after witnessing to the Indian people. We're talking the southern tip of India. The tomb of St. Thomas is in Mylapore, India. Paul had his head cut off in AD 67 in Rome by the wicked Emperor Nero. Because of these men and women, we have church today. So family, if you think, why would somebody, I'm not going down for nothing that I know is a lie. I shared with you guys before, if we do something together and get caught, and I didn't do it, but I was just with you, and the police start talking about, well, you know, we really just want them. We know you didn't do nothing. But if you want to take the rap 25 years, I'm going, where do I sign at? I can't do 25. You know I love you, but you did it. I didn't. Well, you going to be a snitch in the hood? Well, I'm going to be a free snitch. I ain't going down. Not for the lie. Family, you have to understand how powerful the resurrection is, that we have churches throughout the world because of what these gentlemen did. We've been going through a series this year on, do we really believe what we hear? Do we really believe what we read? Do we really believe that this actually happened? So family, you got to ponder on that. Oh, did the resurrection really happen? If it did, then it's worth living for. And last things, we all living and believing in something. You believe in your job, you believe in your career, you believe in your... Some of us living and dying for a lie right now. Your job, your career, your business, it's not uncommon. We go every day to some job that's killing us. Then we dying for that lie of the job. And it's going to take a resurrected Savior to save us. Somebody say amen. Let's close out. If you would, bow your heads. Lord, do we really believe what you've done for us? Do we really believe that you resurrected on that third day and split time in half? That you conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave? That God sent you on a rescue mission to rescue us because we needed saving. And if we would look in our heart and examine ourselves and be real, we know that we're so grateful, God, that you saved us. We tried to save ourselves. We tried to get it together, Lord, but without you, we can't. And we won't, and we never will. But we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday where we can pause and we can think with family and friends. And we can be grateful for what God did over 2017 years ago. Answers the three most important questions of life. Where do I come from? Why am I here? And where do I go when I die? Not if I die, because it's just a matter of when. God, we hope it's later than sooner. But it's a fate we all have to come to grips with. But Jesus, when you resurrected, you're the only one that resurrected from the dead. We're not talking about a near-death experience. We're talking about being dead in the grave for 3 days and resurrecting and saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to my Father's house and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be there also. That when you transition, it'll be a smooth transition right to paradise, because I've died for your sins. You don't want to die with all that sin in your heart. You don't want to do it. You don't want to take your chances on some man-made salvation plan. You don't want to do it. We thank you, Lord. As we discern these times with spiritual eyes, it's the only thing that makes sense. All your biblical prophecies, we see them unfolding right before our eyes. God, forgive us of our sins. We want to not only believe, we want to commit, trust, submit, and surrender to your will for our life. We want to make disciples and build your kingdom. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never really considered it like this, and I need to go to step one. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. God bless you. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to be saved this morning. I want to be rescued by God. I can't save myself. I realize that. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to get back on track with God. I've been so distracted and forgetting the most important part of my life, which is my spiritual life. That's you, elevate your hand if you want to rededicate this morning. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you hear you're looking for a church home and you say, Pastor, I've visited, but I've never made it official. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. Since we're amongst friends and family, sometimes we just need a little bit of help, a little bit of encouragement. You might be sitting next to someone who wants to make a decision for Christ and they're a little apprehensive. So if you would, just check with your neighbor and say, if you have one of the spiritual needs just mentioned, I'll walk up with you. If you want to be saved, you want to rededicate your life, you want to join the church. Take a minute. Just turn to someone next to you. Say, if you have one of the spiritual needs, I'll be happy to walk up with you. I'm going to ask my brother John to come up. Amen. We have rededication. We have church membership. Let's just bow our heads and just maybe someone else is in the valley of decision. Lord, we're praying right now. Someone wants to commit their life to Christ, or they want to rededicate their life. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. I'm going to ask some of my members just to come up and surround these good, beautiful people here. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. It's all about relationship, Lord. Because you wanted to have a relationship with us. That's why you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So that we could be connected heart to heart. Even makes it more special when we connect with our family heart to heart. And connect with God heart to heart. We love you for that, Lord. And we bless you for it. Thank you, Lord, for rededication this morning. As your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, to be honest, we know we need to rededicate every day. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. We want to know the will that you have for our life. Thank you for our brother John coming up for membership to join us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We cover him. We pray for him. To have his back and not to stab him in the back, but to love on him and help him to find his method of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, with anyone that crosses his path. Thank you, Lord, that you saw this day before we even thought about this day. So we bless you and we thank you for all our friends and family this morning. Thank you that we serve a resurrected Savior. That in fact you did split time in half. your disciples saw you, spent time with you after you resurrected, got the Great Commission, was sent out, and here we stand today in a church celebrating Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, hug someone, and you are dismissed.